around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the second message in the sermon series. Last week we talked about preparing to prepare and what needs to happen when the Bible calls us to prepare. And let me just lay it out real quickly for you again, is that when regardless of where you are or what stage, what chapter you are in your life, the Bible calls us to prepare. All right? And we are to become Christ-like. And Christ always says, I go to prepare, I have prepared. So he is always in preparation mode. And that's how we are called to be, constantly in preparation mode. We've talked about there is no setting still. There is no pause in Christianity. You're either moving forward or you're not. Those are the choices, okay? So you're either growing and you're moving forward in your life and in your walk. And that is why it's called a Christian walk, is because every day you got to get up and put the other one foot in front of the other. It is a Christian journey, and it is a Christian walk, and there is no stopping. There is no pause, all right? So you're either moving forward or you're not. So the Bible calls us to prepare, to constantly be in preparation for things in our lives. And last week we talked about the biblical foundations, the biblical understanding of what it means to prepare our minds so that we can do the things that Christ in the Bible is calling us to do. And then this morning, we are going to talk about what the Bible talks about and how it teaches, what are the foundations in preparation to serve. So you may be caught in all different kinds of ways. Some of you may be serving to a point to where you're getting weary. Okay? That happens. You serve and serve and serve and you get weary. I never want to hurt your feelings, but that's an internal issue there, okay? So that's a personal issue. That's a human issue, because Jesus always drives us, always gives us the energy, always gives us the passion to keep serving and keep moving forward. At times when you get tired and when you slow down and you get weary, that's when you start putting the burdens on yourself in human, in flesh terms, okay? So we are constantly preparing to serve. It might be that you are young, you are new in your walk in Christ, and you're still kind of looking around like, hey, what is it I'm being called to do? What kind of way can I actually serve? It might be that at one point in your life, you were serving to the max and you did get weary, or you had an interaction with someone that soured you or bittered you, and then you kind of put yourself on a shelf for a while. And it's my job, and if you're around me very long and you know, I will constantly be pushing you and pushing you and pushing you to serve and serve and serve more. When people call me sometimes and they say, hey, what do you think about doing this? I'm saying, you realized who you called, right? You called me, and I'm going to say, do it. Let's do it. I'm always for it. We'll find a way. We'll find the resources, the time, the space. We will do it, because that's just how I think. That's what I feel like I'm called to do. If you've got a passion for something, come talk to me. We'll find a place. We'll find resources and how we can use you to serve in the way that you feel like you're being called. So the Bible lays out foundations. It lays out teachings on how to prepare yourself to serve. And this is a daily affirmation. This is a daily chore, because we are called to serve. The Bible's very explicit and says the Son of God, even him, the Son of God, came to serve and not be served. Even to the point, and then adds on a little tagline there, even to the point that he offered himself at crucifixion. So there was no limit. So we're called to be Christians. We're called to be cloaked in our Christ-like clothing. And just know that there was no limit in the amount and in the way that Jesus Christ would serve. Death was not even a limit for him. Okay? So let's look what the Bible says and how to prepare to serve. I'm going to be out of 1 Peter in chapter, hit verses 3 through 12, okay? And I'm gonna be running on high today, okay? So I need you to stick with me a little bit here, all right? So 3 through 5, let's look at it. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't do this a lot. I don't read the scripture back to you a lot. I'm going to do this morning, okay? And just so you understand that I'm going to take time to do this morning. So that's kind of a little bit of a light bulb here, okay? That You might want to catch on here. All right, these are important scriptures. This is important stuff. Listen, there's nothing higher. There's no higher calling than called to serve by Jesus Christ. That's our existence here, right? Sometimes we get that backwards and we think, you know, I got my job, I got to go make money, I got to go fulfill this and make me happy in this kind of way. And then if I have anything left over, you know, I might give it to my family and to the church a little bit, some kind of energy or way. That's totally backwards, okay? We are called to serve and to serve in the way that Jesus Christ is calling us to serve. And all that other stuff is our opportunity to serve. Our jobs, our vocations, our interactions with people, the way that we live, the way that we love our family, the way that we teach our kids, the way that we interact with our spouses and our family members, that's all a way of serving and glorifying Jesus Christ. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So that's the 3-5, so let's look. We're going to break that down, okay? I highlighted. I hope you can see that a little bit. I highlighted this first phrase here. So let's break this apart and let's understand what's being said here, because these first three scriptures are jam-packed. There's a lot of meaning. There's a lot of calling going on here. So let's understand what's really being said here, okay? So first and foremost, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord in Jesus Christ. So right there, we have to start in a place to where we understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God called to be our mercy and our grace and our salvation. Amen. He is the perfect sacrifice sent to glory, sent to Calvary to die for each and every one of us. That has to be your belief, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He was here in human form, but he was never any less God. He is God the Son. So that has to be the starting place. And it says, who according to his abundant mercy, okay, he is a merciful God. Jesus Christ is a merciful Savior. He has to be, because he went to the cross to die for you and me, to provide us mercy, to give us forgiveness, to give us salvation. And it says there that has begotten. Now, that is a biblical word. It's used in any time the Bible, especially in the New Testament and also in the Old Testament. It says the word begotten. That is associated with a promise. He is the begotten Son of God. That means he comes with a promise. What is the promise? The promise is salvation for all of us. That is the promise from God, is that if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, came for you, and died for you, then the promise is that you will receive eternal life after you close your eyes in death in this life. And it says that he has begotten us to a living hope. That is such weighty language there, a living hope. Now, I need you just to hang with me just for a second here, okay, about what this really means. Because sometimes the world can be really, really tough. And things can't always go your way. And circumstances pop up. And it could be decisions that you made that are coming back to haunt you. Or it could be something that you had absolutely no involvement in. And yet you're being brought into some kind of trial and tribulation. Out of your control. But yet you're dealing with the circumstances of that trial and tribulation. Here's the thing. It's easy to get depressed. It's easy to fall into the blues. I have been open and honest with you guys. I personally struggle with the blues. I'm just going to be honest with you. Okay, that is something that some of us go through. You know, I think of somebody like my Uncle Larry. I've never seen my Uncle Larry in a bad mood. Not one time ever. Okay, I don't know what kind of medicine Kathy's putting in his oatmeal, but I need some of that stuff. Okay? All right? But for me personally, sometimes when, you know, I wish I was tougher, I wish I handled stuff better, But sometimes it gets, I'm just human, sometimes it gets to me, and I start slipping, and then Arianna let me lay around for a few minutes, and then she looks at me and says, hey, come on, let's go, get up. Tired of seeing you laying around, all right? Tired of seeing that look. If you look in the Bible, okay, when Cain and Abel are going through their thing, God comes to Cain and says, what's wrong with your countenance? You know what he's saying? Your face is ugly. That's what he's saying to him. The way you're holding your mouth and your eyes, you're ugly. Why are you so ugly right now? That's what he's asking him, okay? And here's what I'm telling you, okay? This is what I'm saying to you, is that this world will beat you down if you let it. It's tough. The repercussions are enormous. The circumstances couldn't be any meaner. But if you are truly regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are called to live a life, and it is a life of a living hope. Now, what that means is that irregardless of what happens in this world and how hard it punches you and kicks you and knocks you down, the worst thing that can ever happen to you is you die. Now, this sounds kind of blunt and rough, but this is a living hope. The worst thing that can ever happen to you is you die, and then you roll on into heaven and live with Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Because he is the begotten Son of God that came with a promise. And the promise is that he will always be here for us. He will never leave you. And irregardless of the circumstances, you are redeemed and you have a place in heaven. Okay? And this was all made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he was brought back from the dead. Okay? And now, this is monumental here too. Because here's, and I'm just going to be blunt with you, all right? Because I'm looking at a lot of faces here, and some of you have been coming to church, you know, since the 1800s. No, I'm just kidding, all right? Been coming for a long time. And what happens to us is we get kind of numb to stuff, all right? Especially with how much stuff is forced on us, with all the social media, all the interactions, okay? The world's a smaller place now than it used to be. And here's what I'm telling you, is that do not allow yourself to become numb to the blessing of Jesus Christ. What that means is you can't just numbly say, yeah, Jesus Christ died for me and he rose from the dead. Because of that, I have salvation. It's great. It's awesome. You can't live like that. And the reason, and I'm telling you, listen to me here, hang with me real tight here. The reason why sometimes we fall into the blues and sometimes we allow the world to get onto us is because we're taking numbly and for granted the sacrifice and the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. And if we opened our eyes every day to glory and to worship of a Savior who died for each and every one of us, your life would be changed. I promise you that. You would live a life filled with a living hope. And that's what it's saying right here, is that the reason why some of us fail, the reason why some of us get down, is because we are failing to live a life with a living hope based on Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead, provides salvation to each and every one of us. Okay? Here's the other thing I need you to understand. This is another biggie right here. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, it tells us that God created man in his own image. And the reason why we grow numb to stuff, and the reason why we get stuff out of perspective and out in a priority list is out of whack, here's the reason why. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm talking to Aaron Phelps this morning, too. Anybody else hot? Here's the deal. Here's what happens, okay? Sometimes I fail to understand that God created me. And he created me to be in the image of him. You know what that means? I have to change and come to God. All right? Now, he came to me, and he saved me, and he came to earth for me, and he died for me. But here's the deal. What I want to happen most times is I want God to be maneuvered and manipulated by me so that he can fit my agenda, and I can sell him what I want to happen in my life, and it happens. Now, that can't be totally, that couldn't be more unbiblical. Because here's what's going to happen, and here's what you have to understand. Bible says, what kind of man builds a tower without knowing he can pay for it in the whole construction project? If he can't pay for the whole tower and he gets it built halfway up, then it's going to be a monument to his lack of wisdom. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so you got to know what you're getting into. And here's what we're called to do. We are called to live a life to where God comes to us and say, here's what I need from you. And you say, use me as you may. But what too many of us are doing is we come to God and say, here's my list. I need you to really have it done by Thursday because I got a really big weekend coming up, all right? There you go. And we want God to be manipulated by us instead of us understanding that we are created beings. We have been created, handmade by God, saved with his son who he sent to die on the cross in our place so that we may have salvation. Here's the second part. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. There is a reward out there. But here's the problem. Glory does not happen for us in this life. And if you're seeking glory in this life, you're going to do it wrong. Because any kind of glory that comes your way, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to reflect it off of us onto where it really deserves to be, and that is onto Jesus Christ. All right? John says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ. In God's house are many mansions. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a mansion and a place for us, an eternal place for us. If it wasn't so, he would tell us because he cannot lie. And here's the thing. If he goes to prepare a place for us, the promise is that he will come back and take us to live with him forever. That's the promise right there. That's why we live a living hope, because of the promise, and it is written in blood, the precious blood spilt by Jesus Christ. And then the last part is, there's a famous preacher over in England, and on his tombstone, it says 1 Peter 1:5, and the simple word is kept. That is what is written on his tombstone. The simple word kept with the marker 1 Peter 1:5. And that is what he's saying, is that that monument is there as a tribute to his life. And his life reflected that Jesus Christ was always there for him and kept him his entire life. He was always there for him. And it says there, let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't get in other people's business. My grandpa had a famous saying he'd tell you all the time. When I go on a trip or something, he'd always say, now mind your business. You know what that means? Don't look over anybody else. You take care of you. You look at you. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Be content with the things that you have. Don't get jealousy. Don't get all that. And if you can do that, you'll live a nice life. And here's the promise. That Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be there for you. You are kept. As Christians, you are kept. And that is in a present term. You are always kept. So let's go on. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. All right? So let's look at this just for a second. So now that we have laid the foundation about that we are to get up every day, we are to acknowledge the blessing, we are to acknowledge the glory, the way that we are going to live with a living hope flowing through us. And that is all because of Jesus Christ. Then the understanding is that you're going to be hit with trials and tribulations. Even when you get it right in the morning and you get everything laid out. You remember what your job as a Christian every morning? Before your feet hit the floor, what are you supposed to do? Say a prayer of emptying. Remove me of me. Make me an empty vessel so that I may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And even if you get the morning started right, you're still going to have trials and tribulations. That's just life. That's one of the promises of this life. That's why the make more money gospel, that's why it's not true. Okay? That's why it's not true. That's why people fall away, is they're sold a wrong gospel. And here's the gospel, is that you're to understand where all of your promises lie, and that is in all your faith and glory and promise, that is in Jesus Christ, but you're still going to have trials and tribulations, and you're still going to have to power through them. And the way that you do it is still relying on Jesus Christ. You still go back to that beginning, is that everything good is because of Jesus Christ. And if is your faith that gets you through this, your faith in that original starting place, and when the trials and tribulations hit, you have to understand that you still have to stand on the promises that Jesus Christ has provided for us. And that will get you through it. That will allow you to grow. Trials and tribulations, this doesn't sound good, but trials and tribulations are actually an opportunity in your life. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to rely more on Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for Him to provide more blessings inside of your life. All right? Verse 9 says, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. This is starting to lay a groundwork here. So now we are moving through a service perspective here, and it is as the verses continue on, there's more maturity laid on top of the preparation. So once you're capable of handling the trials and tribulations in an appropriate way, then we move on through the spectrum of maturity here, and this is what it's telling you, okay? That we have to start living lives of service. That's what we're doing here. We're preparing to serve, right? So it's getting you emotionally and in a maturity way of handling all the things that are going to happen. And now we're switching into the service part of the preparation. You understand what happened there? So many times a bunch of us want to get up and run, and we're not quite stable on our feet yet. And then we try to get up and run, and we hit our heads, and you know, here, let me help you put your eye back in, all right? Get back up. Here we go. All right. You got to walk, okay? But too many of us want to get up and just run and just go wild. But there's a process here. So you got to get that first layer laid down. You got to be able to live with a living hope. Now we move into the service part of the spectrum here. And this is what it's saying. This is what it's starting to lay out here. True service is not about you. It's what it's saying here. You understand that? Though you do not see him. This is Peter. Do you understand who's writing this letter? This is Peter. You know what advantage Peter had over the people that he was ministering to? Is that the word? I need to thumb my uppers here for a second, all right? He was ministering to these people. And here was the big advantage that Peter had over them. You know what it was? Peter saw Jesus. Peter knew Jesus. And he knew that the letter he was writing was going to minister to people for generations and centuries on. And guess what the advantage he had over those of us who are living now? He was actually with Jesus Christ in the flesh. He had a one-on-one human flesh relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's writing this letter to those of us who are never going to have that experience. And this is what he's saying, is that I understand my advantage, and I need you to understand what is going to be asked of you, okay? And he's going to lay this out here very clear, all right? And he's going to say that I have an advantage over you, but yet you're going to have to get into a place to where you can put all your hopes and dreams into someone that you can't physically see. And then it goes on here, and it says, of this salvation, the prophets, they inquired and searched forever and ever. He even had an advantage over the prophets of the Old Testament because they didn't get to meet Jesus. Now, I'm getting somewhere, so hang in with me here, okay? So they were called and they were given prophecies and words that they had to write down. And it wasn't like they could be like Peter, who could turn to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, is this right? They couldn't do that. They had to continually pray and open themselves up to the Holy Spirit so that they could receive the prophecies that the whole Bible is based on. And Peter is writing the fulfillment of those prophecies, the proof. So this isn't novelty. This is something that has been proven over eons. And this is what else he is saying, okay? That those who prophesied with grace would come to you searching what in manner of time? The Spirit of Christ who was in them and was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And this is what he's saying, is that the Old Testament prophets were writing about a Jesus that had not yet come, and they had to do it in a very accurate way because the whole legitimacy of the gospel was relied upon what they were writing. Now here's where I'm going with this, okay? Because if you look here, it says, to them it was revealed, not to themselves. You understand? You understand what he's saying? So they had a revelation, but it wasn't Jesus Christ coming to them and saying, hey, you got that right. Keep going. Okay? And what they had to do was they had to continually pray and search and open themselves up for the word of truth that was being provided to them about a Jesus who was yet to come. And what they were writing was what the whole gospel was being based on. Their writings would be looked back to prove that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. You're talking about a weight there. And here's what is being said. It's saying that, but they were ministering to things which now have been reported to you and have been preached the gospel to you and have been sent from heaven to you. And this is what he's saying here. Okay? And this is why it's being laid out as the foundation of the teaching on how to prepare to serve. And this is what he's saying, is that the Old Testament prophets were being asked to write very accurately as proof about a Jesus who is yet to come. Peter is writing about the Old Testament prophecies, using them to prove a Jesus Christ that he knew in the flesh, to minister to those of us who would never have the opportunity to meet Jesus Christ and would never receive Old Testament prophecy. So here's what's being said. You ready? I've built all that up to hear you this. Your service is not about you. Your service has nothing to do about you. And let me say it very bluntly, and I'm talking to Aaron Phelps too. If your service is about you, you're not truly serving Jesus Christ. You have to open yourself up and say, here I am. I will not, and you have to understand, and this is what he's saying. The Old Testament prophets did not receive the blessing of Jesus Christ. They died before he ever came to earth. All right? The letter that Peter is writing right now, the people that were served by it, he never got to meet them. They died. And those of us who are now living and trying to abide by the writings never got to meet Jesus Christ and never got revealed prophecy to us individually. Because it's not about us. And your service can't be about you. It has to be you opening yourself up and saying, God, use me for whatever you need me to be. And if I don't receive and I don't see the ending of the blessing of my service, then that's okay. Because I'm serving in the way that you're calling me to serve. Is that making sense? Is it landing? You guys are kind of looking at me like I'm trying to sell you a llama here. Right. And in the Bible, it talks about those who received a calling completely changed their lives to answer that calling and lived a life dedicated to that calling and never saw the ending blessing of their life's work. But they were glad to do it because that's what they were called to do. That's how you prepare yourself to serve, is you remove you out of the process. That is biblical. John 13 says, the less I become, the more he increases. That's the gospel right there. That's what I have to tell myself all the time is get out of the way. And if you've ever complimented me on any kind of message or anything, and some of you get, you know, I get on your nerves about it, I say it had nothing to, I had nothing to do with it, okay? And I understand that God uses people, he uses their sense of humor and their personality to make his points. But if I do it right, this message had nothing, I had nothing to do with this message. Now, there have been messages where I've preached something on my mind or something, and they have failed. And I know they failed. When I walk out of the church, I am utterly disappointed in myself. And I have to go and answer for that and ask for forgiveness and pray. And it's like, that's the longest week of my life because the next Sunday never seems to come around where I can redeem myself and open myself up. All right? But our service cannot be about us. It has to be where we open ourselves up. And listen, there are, I'm just going to be honest with you, there are repercussions to opening yourself up. I struggled for a lot of years. And then God gave me the Champaign-Urbana sales territory. 2009. I spent 151 nights in a hotel that year, over almost half the year in a hotel. Monday through Thursday, I was in a hotel every night. And I had been busy, kept myself busy and knocking stuff out of my mind and not pondering on things. I'll never forget, in a Wyndham Hotel in Champaign, Illinois, I finally got on my knees and I said, well, I'm tired of fighting this. I'm tired of fending it off. I just, you do with me what you want. I give up. Let me say you have to be careful because of that, I'm standing in front of you this morning, okay? You understand that? Huh? I mean, they're going, if you truly offer your, I'd been beaten down. I just gave up. It wasn't anything about me. I just finally couldn't take it anymore. And I just gave up. And I open myself up, and I have to tell you, if you do it, he's going to come and move you. Okay? And I'll just be honest with you. And I say this, and I don't see any preachers in the house. Do you know what the absolute 1,000% last thing on this earth I wanted to be? A preacher. I did not want to be a preacher. Did not want to be a preacher. Bought it for years. I don't want to be a preacher. Don't want to be a preacher. You feel the frustration in my voice? Huh? But it was not about me. And one day I just had to say, you know what? I'm tired of fighting it. It's not about me. And guess what he said? Okay, good. You're going to be a preacher. Thanks. Here's your preacher card. All right, go preach. Thanks. All right. So I'm saying all that not to build myself up, okay, because I failed for years. I think about all the wasted opportunities and years I had, okay. That's on me. I got to answer for that one day. I got to stand in front of the throne of glory, and he's going to ask me, why did it take you so long? And I'm going to say, because I'm crazy, all right. We all got stuff we got to answer for. That's something I got to answer for. But here's why I am imploring you. Open yourself up. Make it less about you. All about Jesus. And I promise you, we will change El Dorado and Saline County and all the counties around. It has to. Because Jesus Christ is powerful. He's the most powerful force on earth. And if we open ourselves up to be used by him, that's a powerful force. So I'm asking you to stand with me this morning. And I understand this is a challenging message. I couldn't understand more. Anytime you pray, make it less about me, that kind of goes against about some of the things that we pray about. Because generally our prayers are totally isolated on us and our needs. Now listen, that's an important part of prayer. Don't get me wrong. God wants you to bring your problems and your burdens to him. But when we get to the prayers about service and sacrifice, it has to be about him. Now, we're in a place of preparation here. We are still serving, and this is life. We are still serving. Our Wednesday nights have not stopped. We're still meeting on Sunday mornings. We're still having all kinds of activities, okay? And if you need any information on any kind of activity, go to Shannon Reister, and she will set you straight, okay? She'll get you involved, okay? So, yeah, we're still serving. But we have to be preparing to serve in a greater place. And I don't mean just numbers, getting more people in. That's important. But it's about making a bigger impact on families. If you drive through El Dorado, there's a need there. I promise you, there's a need there. If you drive through Broughton, there's a need there. Regardless of where you go in Southern Illinois, there's a need there. So I'm imploring you, as your pastor, as someone who loves each and every one of you, intently and deeply, come up this morning and let's open ourselves up to true service, all about Jesus Christ. I open up the altars to you this morning.